الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فيقول الحق سبحانه أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون. All praises are due to Allah, Lord of the worlds, and surely Allah is the friend and protector of the righteous. And I bear witness that Allah is one and has no partners, and that Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, is his servant and his last messenger. And may Allah always and constantly send peace and blessings to Muhammad, to his family, to his companions, to all those who call to his way and establish his sunnah to the day of judgment. As to what follows, I begin by cautioning myself and you to have taqwa, that we should fear Allah Azza wa Jal, hope in the mercy of Allah, and surround ourselves with the consciousness of Allah, knowing that Allah Azza wa Jal has revealed a mighty testament which will continue to bless us, continue to guide us until the day of resurrection. And in this mighty book, Allah Azza wa Jalla has told us, O you who believe, have the consciousness of Allah, and let every soul look to what it put forward for tomorrow and fear Allah. Surely Allah is well aware of all that you do. And be not as those who forgot Allah, and so He made them forget themselves. Surely they are the disobedient ones. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite mercy has revealed to us, after the importance of our iman, our faith, that we, every soul, should look for tomorrow. And so this divine admonition, this divine warning and guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that time is of the essence, and people do not value time. An individual who has been told that he or she has 2 weeks to live, they would value every moment, every glance, every opportunity to do some righteous deeds. They would value this, knowing that their life is short. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showed us very clearly that our time on earth is limited. And so we need to take advantage of every moment, every glance, every instant, everything that is happening in the universe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Allah's universe, Allah has willed that the Hujjaj would be in Arafah, and they would be in a blessed place at a blessed time. And we can only pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would bless the Hujjaj who have gone from our community and from around the world, that their struggling, their striving would be maqbool, it would be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the sa'i that they're doing would be accepted, that the sadaqah that they are giving, whatever they have sacrificed, would be accepted, and that the Hajj could change their lives and bring about a change in the Muslim world. Around the Muslim world in these days also, we have the fasting of the Arafah. And so for those who have fasted, we can only pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would bless all of us who are fasting on this day with the intention that the sins of the previous year and that which is coming would be forgiven by Allah Azza wa Jalla. With all that is happening in the world, with the confusions that are going on politically, socially, economically, environmentally, Muslims find themselves being caught up putting out fires. Putting out fires, reacting to situations, and not focusing upon the essence of that which Allah has given to us. It is the example of the Prophet Muhammad SAW and his companions, that when they were in the most difficult situation, and it is said that in the Battle of Hunain, after the opening of Mecca, when the Hawazin tribe surrounded the Muslims, pounced upon them, ambushed them, came down to take their lives, that the Sahaba said, إِذَا هَمِيَ الْوَتِيسِ, when things got hot, we would seek our refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We would seek to him, we would go to him. He is not alive today, but his message is alive. And so at this point in time, in this sacred time, as we are in the sacred fast, the best that we can do is to ponder directly on what he has left us. And the highest achievement we can make is to take what he has left us and bring it alive in our lives and in the world we are living in today. On the ninth day of Dhu-Hijjah, 10th year after the Hijrah, the Prophet Muhammad SAW, with a large gathering of believers, between 100 to 140,000, stood on the Mount of Arafah, and after praising Allah and thanking Him, he said, O people, lend an attentive ear. And this is what we should do now, as though we are there. Because this message is not just for the people who were there. This message is tailor-made for us as well. The Prophet ﷺ said, O people, lend an attentive ear, for I know not whether after this year I shall ever be amongst you again. Therefore, listen to what I am saying very carefully, and take these words to those who could not be present here today. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying, listen very carefully. Try to understand these words. Take meaning from these words. Take lessons from these words. Take the emphasis in our lives from these words. And when we do that, we should pass it on to other people. This is a primary mission that the Prophet, peace be upon him, has left us with on this day. And peace be upon him, he said, O people, just as you regard this month, this day, this city sacred, so regard the life and property of every Muslim as a sacred trust. Now think about what's happening in the world and this message. Then he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, return the goods entrusted to you to their rightful owners. Hurt no one so that you would not be harmed. Say that again. Hurt nobody so that you will not be hurt. Remember that you will indeed meet your Lord, and that He will indeed reckon your actions. This is a mighty warning here. He's telling all of us, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ, every soul must taste death. So no matter what is happening politically in the world, no matter what is going on, we will eventually have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything that we have done will be in front of us. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued, Allah has forbidden you to take interest, usury. Therefore all interest obligations shall henceforth be waived. Your capital, however, is yours to keep. You will neither inflict nor suffer any inequity. Allah has judged that there shall be no interest. Beware of Satan. For the safety of your religion, he has lost all hope that he will ever be able to lead you astray in big things. So beware of following him in small things. Listen with an attentive ear. The Prophet ﷺ gives us economic liberation. Liberated us from interest and usury. And warned us, it's over. No more interest and usury. But he has allowed business. Your capital is yours. Your capital is yours. So that is allowed. But he warned us against inequality. And we see it now, the rich and the poor. Some people feeling that because of who they are, or their family, or their nationality, they deserve more food than another Muslim. Then the Prophet ﷺ gives us a very important message. And that is that the religion itself, beware, not of the major parts of the religion. Because the salat is there, we're making our salat, our zakat is there, fasting is there, your month of Ramadan is there, Muslim Ramadan everywhere. Hajj is there. We have the largest gathering every year, larger and larger. But he said, beware in small things. It's in the small things. The things that don't appear to be large, but actually can be put up in front of us and take us astray. So issues that we see right now, like moon sighting, halal food, who was the rightful successor of the Prophet ﷺ? How do we make our salat when there is many ways to pray? These things are not supposed to be major things. But they can be taken and made into major things and used by the evil one and take us astray. So beware of these things. Beware of the minor points. Then the Prophet ﷺ continued. And these are highlights, of course, of the khutbah. O people, it is true that you men have certain rights with regard to women, but they also have rights over you. Remember that you have taken them as your wives under Allah's trust and with His permission. If they abide by your right, then to them belongs the right to be fed and clothed in kindness. Do treat your women well and be kind to them. For they are your partners and committed helpers. And it is your right that they do not make friends with anyone of whom you do not approve, as well as never to be unchaste. This, in the environment of 1400 years ago, is a complete social revolution. Because at that time, women were chattel slaves everywhere around the world. Every society, and even in this society here, that claims to have a form of democracy, it wasn't until the 20th century that women actually gained voting rights and property rights. Up to the 20th century. And here it is 1400 years ago that the Prophet ﷺ is giving liberation and protection to the women of Islam. And he gives his example of the sunnah that he never hit, he never struck any woman in his household. This is the sunnah. If we want sunnah, it's not just two rakat sunnah. He never put his hand on any woman in his household. Then he continues, alayhi salatu wasalam, O people, listen to me in earnest. He said, listen closely to this. And he continues, worship Allah. Say your five daily prayers. Fast during the month of Ramadan. And give your wealth in zakah. Perform hajj if you can afford it. So the Prophet ﷺ here is emphasizing the foundations of Islam. Our foundational activities, which many people overlook, who want the political system of Islam, or the economic system of Islam, or Islamic social theory, Islamic intellectual theory. But the message is your foundations. If your foundations are strong, the house is strong. But if the foundation is weak, then no matter what your political theory is, your economic theory, your social theory, your intellectual understanding, it's not going to help. And then the Prophet ﷺ continues, all humanity is from Adam and Hawa. An Arab has no superiority over a non-Arab, nor a non-Arab has any superiority over an Arab. Also, a white person has no superiority over a black person, nor a black person has any superiority over a white person, illa bit taqwa, except with your taqwa, your piety and right action, your consciousness of Allah. That's what distinguishes us, not our nationality and not the color of our skin. Then the Prophet ﷺ continues, learn that every Muslim is a brother to every Muslim, and that Muslims constitute one brotherhood. Nothing shall be legitimate to a Muslim which belongs to a fellow Muslim unless it was given freely and willingly. Do not therefore do injustice to yourselves. We want to see where we're going astray in the Muslim world. Injustice, dhulm, oppression, taking from other people that which does not belong to us, inequality. And above all, in this section of the Arafat sermon, the Prophet ﷺ shows us racial equality, which is so important today when the world is being polarized on race, where color is becoming a defining description in individuals. And even in North America, it is becoming more and more today a defining quality of an individual. Then the Prophet ﷺ continued, remember, one day you will appear before Allah and answer your deeds. So beware, do not stray from the path of righteousness after I have gone. See what he told us? Do not stray from the path of righteousness. Then he continues, O people, no prophet or apostle will come after me, and no new faith will be born. Reason well, therefore, O people, and understand the words which I convey to you. I believe I leave behind two things, the Quran and my example, my sunnah. If you follow these two, you will never go astray. And so the Prophet ﷺ gives us finality of the divine message. No new divine message will come. There will be people making up religions, worshipping this, worshipping that, worshipping themselves, calling it a religion, worshipping creatures. But no new divine religion will come. No more prophets are going to come. And he gives us finality of prophethood. Khatm al-Nubuwa. It is over. No more prophets, no more apostles, no more messengers. And then he emphasizes the importance, not just of the Quran, but of the Sunnah. And there are those who say, no, I just want the Quran. But the Prophet ﷺ is saying, don't go astray. I'm leaving you two things. You have the Quran and you have my example. Then the Prophet ﷺ continues, all those who listen to me shall pass my words to others, and those to others again. And may the last ones understand my words better than those who listen to me directly. Look at this. He said, we pass this on. equality, lack of interest, protection of the rights of women, racial equality, Quran and Sunnah, don't hurt anybody, justice for all, pass it on, he's saying. You take it and give it to somebody else. But it's so interesting to us because the way the signs are looking and the ulama tell us, we're near the end. We're close to the end. So the Prophet is saying, may the last ones understand my words better than the ones who are listening to me. And surely this ummah right now is in need to understand these words. Then the Prophet ﷺ ends by saying, be my witness, O Allah, that I have conveyed your message to the people. And so it is our duty to pass this message on. It is our duty to listen attentively, put it into our lives, pass it on to our children, and continue this message before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaces us completely with another people. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب استغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأصلي وأسلم على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد يا عباد الله اتقوا الله حيثما كنتم أو followers أو worshippers fear Allah wherever you are, have the consciousness of Allah wherever you are, in the masjid, outside of the masjid, at school, on the job. And know that the Prophet ﷺ did not speak from himself. He was blessed from above seven heavens with divine knowledge. And from his companions also, there were individuals who are blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes when you read through their writings, you come across statements that they have made which are unbelievable. It is like they are speaking to us directly. One of the great companions, his name is Masruq radiallahu anhu. He reports in a hadith, Shamamtu ashabu Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fawajadtu ilmuhum intaha ila sittati nafar minhum Umar wa Ali wa Abdullah ibn Mas'ud wa Ubay ibn Ka'b wa Abu Darda wa Zayd ibn Thabit. Masruq said, I investigated the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Shamamtu means I looked over them, I investigated them, I listened to their reports, I analyzed them, and I found that all of their knowledge ended with six people. In other words, if there was an issue, this is the time of the Quran itself, if there is an issue, it's going to end up with six people. And he names the six: Umar ibn al-Khattab, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Ubay ibn Ka'b, Abu Darda, Wazayd ibn Thabit. Then Masruq continues, ثُمَّ شَمَمْتُ هَؤُلَاءِ السِّتَّةَ فَوَجَدْتُ عِلْمُهُمْ إِنْتَهَى إِلَى رَجُلَيْنِ Ali wa Abdullah. He continues and he said, then I investigated these six and I found that their knowledge ended with two, Ali ibn Abi Talib and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu wa karramallahu wajha has given us amazing gems of wisdom. And sometimes we feel lost. We see, how can these things be happening to this ummah? What is going on? And we listen to the statements. We listen to the Quran. We listen to the Prophet ﷺ. We go back to our great companions. They were the best generation. And Ali has left us a gem of wisdom which the ulama are looking at right now to try to understand what is in the world. The translation goes as follows. And this is reported in the book of Al-Fitan of Nu'aym ibn Hamad rahimahullah, who was the teacher of Imam Bukhari. This Imam Bukhari is one of his teachers. So it is in his book of hadith. It's called Al-Fitan, a section called Al-Fitan. He reports that the fourth Khalifa, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, said, "When you see the black flags, remain where you are and do not move your hands or your feet. Thereafter there shall appear a feeble, insignificant folk. Their hearts will be like fragments of iron. They will have a state. They will fulfill neither covenant nor agreement. They will call to the truth, but they will not be people of truth. Their names will be parental attributions, and their aliases will be derived from towns. Their hair will be free-flowing, like that of women. This situation will remain until they differ among themselves. Therefore, thereafter, Allah will bring forth the truth through whomever He wills." This is on the tongue of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, as narrated by Nu'aym ibn Hamad rahimahullah, the teacher of Imam al-Bukhari. وَيَقُولَ الْحَقُّ سُبْحَانَهُ مُخْبِرًا وَآمِرًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وارض الله عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبو بكر عمر عثمان وعلي وأنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم اشفي مرضانا وارحم موتانا وتولى أمرنا واحفظ أولادنا واستر عيوبنا وتحيي قلوبنا واختم بالصالحات أعمالنا يا كريم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين عباد الله يرحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون أقم الصلاة